Accession number 3820, Rule 2.
Reel 2, Rosemary Allen. You were about to say how. You went on to draw other subjects.
Yes, well, I came back because I was going on with my job here at the settlement and did drawings of the settlement in Fairford and portraits of the children, which I think, I know that they are in the War Museum somewhere. And then, directly after that, the rehearsals for Arnhem started in the local airfields because one of the farms was made into a landing ground for gliders, and the various drops for Arnhem were rehearsed over Fairford and this district, and it happened very suddenly one morning. We all woke up, and the people on the farms said, and the postman told us, they're dropping, parachutes are dropping all over the fields. And so we all got up and went out and looked, and there were parachutes of every colour were dropping out of the skies. And we knew that they were not the Germans because the people on the farms had already met various people who had dropped out of the skies. So one went into Fairford. By that time, the settlement was busy making cups of tea and using all the jam rations to give to the parachutists, and the children were very delighted because they never knew what was going to come, because some people appeared with very small collapsible bicycles that they undid and bicycled off to collecting places. Some appeared with puddings and sausages with methylated heating attachments that they cooked on the spot, and then floating vicars appeared, and floating doctors. By that time, everybody had, once they'd gone to their assembly point and reported, were allowed to walk back and be given cups of tea, and we all spent the most delightful day being given bars of chocolate and feeding the parachutists for the rest of the day.
Sounds a pleasant memory.
Yes, it was a very... And then also at that time all the roads here were lined with bombs in preparation for D-Day. And all the country roads that had wide verges were packed like logs with tarpaulins over them. waiting for the invasion to begin, and there was the English Air Force at Fairford, and the American tanks also waiting. And for, as far as I can remember, for several days, everybody was confined to air bases, and it was I was trying to think. No, it was not. It wasn't obvious until the beginning of the invasion, till that after the camps had been closed for several days, and then a stream of aircraft began to go over, and we realized that the invasion was beginning. And I think it was only till the end of that day that we were officially told that D-Day had started off.
Did you do any drawing in that
period? No, it was too busy. No, it wasn't possible to draw, because there was really so much to do of looking after the Merlis canteen. I'm trying to think of the sequence of that. Yes, the Americans were waiting. They didn't go in the first stream, and so that they needed canteens, and also, I mean, the children were still being cooked for. And after that, I think, after that my husband went up to Lincolnshire to do a series of bomber crews, and two awful to say RAF VCs whose name I cannot remember, but I know he was overwhelmed by and adored being at Binbrook. And the bomber crews were only too grateful. They sat like rocks, because it was wonderful to have something to do in between sorties. And he did some lovely drawings, and also got flown back to London in some terrifying machine without any sort of in those days with sort of goggles. And
I'd like to know what the wartime was for you, aside from what you've described. How did you feel?
Immensely bored, really.
Frustrating,
yes.
Not worried?
Not worried, no. Because we were so very fortunate. I mean, we were not in London. I was worried about my parents, who were near London, or rather my mother was worked for the YMCA and was always at Liverpool or Waterloo Station. I was very worried about her in an information office. And my father was an air raid warden. I was very worried about them, but they were marvellous. They thoroughly enjoyed it and were completely intrepid. And very fortunately, quite unscathed.
Did you meet any of the people who were organising war art? Did you meet Sir Kenneth, or?
Yes, I did. Yes. Whom I've always had a great admiration for as director of the National Gallery, because he was always in the National Gallery. And he was always extremely kind to artists, and we went to see him also when he lived temporarily at Tetbury during the war, and I remember we arrived on motor bicycles absolutely blue with cold and being given double brandies on arrival and shown the most remarkable. I think he took a collection of pictures with him wherever he stayed, and I remember the most very enjoyable lunch party at Tetbury, and I think as far as I remember there were Chagalls in the cook's bedroom and it was lovely to see paintings and drawings. And he did the most marvellous job in the war by producing a masterpiece a week. So at any time one went to the National Gallery, it was always a great treat. And my husband knew him because we were both trustees of the Tate at that time and had gone up to Westmorland to make sure that the Tate pictures were being housed safely somewhere on the coast of Westmorland. I think the National Gallery were housed in Wales, and was this terrifying moment when the caves began to move and they had to come to the rescue of the National Gallery.
Were your drawings exhibited? You said some were acquired by the Imperial War Museum.
Yes, on various occasions they said they were exhibited, but during that time I was never able. I think they exhibited them in patches, various war activities, and I occasionally sent notice that they were, but I'm afraid I never got up to see them.
All you know is that they eventually found their way to the museum. Have you seen them now?
No, I haven't. No.
What, did you have any opinion about war art then? Did you have any feeling that here was something being done that was worth doing? I mean, insofar as, for instance, you were aware of your husband's work.
Yes, I think one was. It became a very interesting problem to give, or when you were asked to do a specific subject, to somehow find an aesthetic answer to something that you needed also to give a lot of information about, because the answer was not purely aesthetic. It had to have the facts as well, and I found that absolutely fascinating to try and reconcile one with the other.
Could you give a specific example with a drawing? To go into some detail you say conveyed information on the one hand, and on the other produced something aesthetic, made an impression of beauty.
Well, I think the one of the ladies, all dressed in white, in battling with rows of sewing machines, I found that very interesting. In a light room, all these terrifying sort of dowagers with draped in these sort of white clothes, I remember being conscious of their hands for the first time and wondering when one, if you see, I suppose one was about 26, but when you see if you're closeted with the very old for a very long time, at that age, you became fascinated to think, oh, well, this is what I shall become. And I remember looking at everybody's hands and looking at my own hands and thinking, you know, when will they become like that? But they were...
You were saying?
No, after having worked with the young people of the school children, the WVS settlement, it was the sort of immense concentration of the very, very elderly was impressive. They worked with extreme precision and great effort. And they looked forward to their meals enormously.
Did you feel as you drew that this was something part of what was going on? Did you have any sense of purpose about it?
Yes, I think one did, yes. This was something that one was so fortunate to be allowed to do, because it was wonderful to be to get back to drawing and to be given a subject. I always find it very inspiring to be given a set subject and to rather like being put in a box and having to fight your way out somehow and with an answer. And I always find that really very exhilarating and inspiring, to sort of be like a kind of rat inside cheese to fight your way out to the daylight. I have always found that exhilarating.
And indeed, you hadn't, you said, done much, you hadn't accomplished much artistically before the war. So in a way, this was a challenging beginning.
Yes, it was, yes.
Who did you rely upon for encouragement? Or did you need any?
Oh, well, I showed my drawings to my husband, who's always was always helpful. Yes, because he was the only person
nearest you.
Anyway. Nearest, yes, indeed. Mm.
So, in a way, the work benefited by his proximity.
Yes, it did. Mm-hmm. Yes, it did indeed.
You were drawing in great detail, presumably. I mean, the detailed training that you had was useful.
Well, they were They were. They were watercolours because one had to work quickly. They were pen and ink and watercolour, because it wouldn't have been... They were literally a sort of... they were not subjects for oil paintings at all. They was, I mean, they were a form of reporting.
Quickly done.
Quickly done, yes. And also with... trying to make portraits of the people, too, that one felt. And also, of course, they did enjoy looking. This was something that was very inspiriting, both the WVS settlement loved being drawn, and the old ladies loved being drawn. It was the most delightful assignment, because people did come and look, and one felt in gratitude that one longed to get good likenesses and so on.
Was it not too difficult to make one face different from the other, to do groups of portraits quickly?
Well, I think that when people do things, it's always easy to make the posture, the pose recognisable, because people make repeated gestures, and it's always easier to sum up, rather, as you recognize a friend from a distance immediately before you can see the features, that this was something that you became aware of, was the repeated way people moved and hunched themselves or did things, which was just as typical of them as their voices.
Did you continue to function as in first aid and other assignments?
No, the first aid, I was a member of the Red Cross at the beginning of the war in Windsor, but as the Red Cross in Gloucestershire and Fairford wasn't really needed, it was the work amongst the evacuees, so one joined the WVS. That was the need. There was no need. There was an American hospital and the English hospitals, but there was no need for the amateur, really. Mm-hmm. So it was the WVS that was the really looking after children. But as I said, this was in a very minor capacity because I was just only doing it 4 days a week, I think, mm-hmm. and then coming home and cooking for my husband.
Did you do any painting and drawing outside of what you were specifically asked to do during the war?
No, because one hadn't got enough energy. No, no, I don't think so. No, I mean, I did do some drawings, some landscapes, but really, by the time one had bicycled to places and collected food and so on, one hadn't got all that energy. No.
About how many do you think drawings, paintings came out of then, the war period?
I think the War Museum has probably got about a dozen, and I must have done, I suppose, 20 or 30, I think.
Where did the others go? Privately?
I've got one or two, and I think the rest were destroyed. I didn't think they were good enough. I've got one or two still.
And some of them you just...
Yes, I don't...
Did away with.
Torn up, yes. Mm.
You showed me a very good one, which, however, is pre-war, I think. It's in oil. It is it is a sea painting. There's a lighthouse, isn't there?
Oh, yes, that was done after I left the Slade, and before I married, yes. That was in France.
What is the subject?
It's St. Valery-en-Caux in Normandy, which is a seaport, and which I took myself to paint. It was before the war. And the other one was at a place called Cameray, and that was painted, yes, before the war too, yes, both of those were painted before the war.
Mm. Although they're not military subjects, they could have been. The nature of the buildings, the grey ears, and the sort of bits installation, you know, they could have been military subjects.
Yes,
they
could have been, and I believe all of them were blown up in the war. Mm. Yes, they could certainly.
Showing that
been.
You have this aptitude, yes. That you had an aptitude which could have been even involved in military installation.
Well, yes.
Yes, I have a feeling that there was a logical mind at work, and you could have applied yourself to anything in the military if you'd been asked to. Do you agree or not?
Um, Yes, I should love to have been given a commission to do something to do with the sea. Yes. But on the other hand, one wasn't in any way, one had no technical knowledge. I mean, one merely happened to like the look of things. And was a sort of very uninformed civilian. I mean, I don't think that I could have made sense, sort of, if one had been sent to Portsmouth, one would have needed more...
Schooling.
Schooling,
yes.
Though I think it would have been immensely thrilling. I should love to have been a Wren and worked in the Navy.
Well, that's the impression I have, that you were in a way under to. You were underused.
But on the other hand, this is the price of an extremely happy marriage. I mean, this was we were married. How long? If we were married in 1937, the war went on. Yes, we were extremely happy, and therefore I didn't want to walk out and go to the forces and leave my husband.
You did something, I should think, to help your husband function as an artist during the war, in a way. I mean, there was a secondary aspect as well that you
did.
Yes. Although he gave you criticism, you must have given him some support
as
well.
Yes, indeed.
It worked both ways, didn't it?
Yes, it did, yes.
And did you like his work that came out of the war?
Yes, I did, very much, yes.
Could you say why?
No, I don't think I could. I thought the drawings of the RAF was something that he hadn't done before, and I thought he had a very good sense of character and an economy of line, and I found it I found the drawings very interesting.
Yeah.
And also he had an awfully good memory and always described the people he'd drawn, and I loved, he wrote awfully good letters too. I found this fascinating.
Yes. An integral part of your experience of the war, in fact.
Yes.
Did you write any poetry? Did you write anything at all? Diary?
No, nothing. Only letters to friends. No, nothing.
You mainly express yourself in fact, in artwork.
Yes, in. I think I drew things in the kitchen mostly. Yes. Still lives.
Where did you live again? Where did you live during most of the war?
Well, we came to live in this house.
Which is Gloucestershire.
Yes, we came, first of all, to live in a farm as lodgers, and then we found half this cottage, which had been lived in by evacuees who were so